They came in over there. As you can see, they dug their way underneath the fence. He pointed to a section in the fence a few meters away from us. And there, clear as daylight, I saw where they had dug away the sand, leaving a hole for a body to crawl through. One, two, three sets of prints, an investigator counted. That made sense. Usually there were at least three men involved, the shooter, the hacker, and one keeping a lookout. Did they come in and out at the same point? I asked. Yes, we presume so. The rhino is not far from here, so it would make sense for them to return to the spot they knew was safe. And judging by the number of tracks, they must have come in and out. Due to the volume of sand, it was impossible to see the direction of their strides. You know, the manager said softly, the frustrating thing is that the poachers are probably looking at us right now. Surprised by his statement, I followed the manager's contemplative expression into Mozambique. Right now? I stunned. Yeah, they often hide away over there looking at us, knowing we can't do anything. Why? I asked incredulously. Why on earth would criminals come back to the crime scene? It's not as crazy as it sounds. We can't go into Mozambique, and they can learn from how we investigate by observing us. They look at what we do, what we look at. They can probably also hear what we're saying. Truth be told, it's the perfect way to learn how not to get caught. The manager left us for a moment as we started filming. 10 minutes or so later, he returned to tell us they are ready to move into the bush. It is about a 5-minute walk, and as we set off, I was struck once more by how difficult the sand makes it. With every step I took, the ground gave way beneath me, forcing me to realign my body weight. As soon as we entered the bush, however, I marveled just how dense the terrain actually is. I could see nothing but trees, bushes, and thorns. In fact, the bush was so dense that I couldn't see anything other than the vegetation. The perfect habitat for a black rhino. How the poachers ever found anything in such an environment was beyond me. Suddenly, a horrible stench hit my nostrils. I flinched awkwardly. The involuntary reactions and sounds of disgust increased as others also started smelling it. I had smelt something similar a few weeks ago at another poaching, though this was infinitely more potent. There truly isn't anything that comes close to the sickening smell of rotting flesh. The rhino was killed 2 days earlier, so given the time frame as well as scorching heat, I wasn't all that surprised that it smelled so bad already. It turned out that we were practically on top of the rhino, yet I still couldn't see it. We were asked to wait for the forensics team to make an initial sweep of the scene. We would only be allowed closer when they were sure we wouldn't destroy crucial evidence. So, we waited patiently in a small clearing as the team disappeared into the bush only a few meters away. Ever so often, I would catch a whiff of the rhino. I realized that I was starting to feel a bit queasy, so I turned around to block out the smell. Don't be sick. Don't be sick, don't be sick, I chanted silently. I closed my eyes momentarily in the attempt to steady my stomach. When I opened them again, I was looking straight up at a red and white tag tied to a twig by the rangers who had found the rhino initially. They marked the spot in this way because of the terrain. otherwise one may never find the corpse again. I signaled to David to film it.